The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Brought to you by Wacko's Department Stores. Yes, friends, shopping at Wacko's is easy because we ain't got shelves. That's right. We just pile everything on the floor and you pick out what you want. No need to read signs and walk up and down aisles. Just plow through the merchandise and take what you want. Bring a shovel, take a whole bunch of stuff at once, you know. And remember, we're not insured, so you shop at your own risk. Remember our slogan, whatever you want in a stacko is at Wacko.
Is that Cotolo over there? I think it is. I think that's Cotolo over there. Oh, Mr. Cotolo, just give it to us one more time.
Dear Therapy Diary, I've been in therapy for a while now, and I actually like it, yeah. I feel like I'm getting to know myself. All of them. There's, like, so many. Therapy has really helped me come out of my shell. I've been leaving the house, talking to other people on the planet, and all this being social has made me realize I think I have antisocialitis. So Dr. Johnsy was like, being antisocial is not a disease, man. It's a natural way of life. It's a natural way of human life. And then I was like, how much weed have you smoked today? So then Dr. Johnsy was like, hey man, I get it, you know, people suck. People suck sometimes, you can say it. I said, Dr. Johnsy, that's terrible advice for a therapist to give. What are you doing? So then Dr. Johnsy was like, whatever man, we'll just answer this question. Why do you think you're antisocial? And I was like, because I spend unusually large quantities of time alone, and I enjoy it. Yeah, like I'm in a jacuzzi by myself. So then Dr. Johnsy was like, what do you want me to do, man? You're messing up my high, dude. And then I was like, yep, I knew it. See, there it is. I knew it. My therapist has a drug problem. He's like, you want my advice? You need to relax, all right? Smell some roses. Shit in the woods. Live it up. And now your hour is up. Get out. I stand outside of his office and I was like, no, he didn't. But you know, he's right. I need to relax. So this weekend, I'm just going to relax. Yeah, I'm going to overdose on some chill pills. And then one of the voices in my head was like, you should throw a party. But you know, Dr. Johnsy is right. Next week, I'm just going to try to take it easy. Slow down, even though it makes me nervous. Therapy Diary, I'm signing off.
Yes, that is Cotolo over there. Over here, here, there, and everywhere. entertainment, relevant irreverence. The Bard of Broadcasting is now on the cyberwaves. Netterati, couple surfers, netaholics, and maniacs, and all you people on your smartphones, so yeah. Wake up, it's night! Please, we ain't got no lifetime to do this. You think it's getting late? Well, it's way later than you think. My name is Frank Cattola. My man's name is Doug Zadel with the show. Here we go. Y2K plus 14. On our way to Mandalay. Say it.
冰球到冰球，小村到大市， 咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心。 是 Cthulhu Chronicles.
We really are about a week and a day away from Chinese New Year. For them, it's year 103. I don't understand that. Perhaps somewhere down the line, an authentic Chinese person can tell us what that means. I know, you can look it up on your internet. You can look it up on anywhere, Wikipedia and Wiki. There's a bunch of wikis now, huh? Wiki Nation, Wiki, there's Encyclopedia, which is a bunch of junk, and Wikipedia, which is in itself a bunch of junk. My name is Frank Atoll, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show, as I said. And I got my coffee black as hell, strong as death, sweet as love, and I'm going to replenish my precious bodily fluids as we continue through these 2 hours right here. Dr. Gary Popoli should be somewhere on the show. I'm wondering, I'm really concerned that Dr. Popoli hasn't updated his Skype situation, but we'll get him. I know. He's technically challenged, and technically we're all challenged. Technically challenged, and technically we're all challenged. But this is the January 23rd Y2K plus 14 show, as we promised, and we've been moving right along. Next week, I don't know. Surprise, surprise. You can always find out what's happening at CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com. Not always, but when it gets close to the time of the broadcast. You know, it wasn't like that in the past. These days, promoting a week ahead of time is absolutely nonsense, because everything happens like at the spur of the moment. I mean, tweets, you don't tweet now for something next week. You've got to keep tweeting. You tweet up to the last moment. And you promote the same way anymore, because, you know, there's 24-hour everything. It's not like it used to be. You know, and if you have a calendar, I don't know what you do with it. Do you write things on it that you're supposed to be somewhere? Or do you just wait? Or do you just do that on your smartphone and wait for an alert? 13 hours till that concert we were going to. 10 hours you have dinner with Clyde. I don't know how that happens. But it's all, you know, I'm not one of those guys who needs a tremendous amount of time for anything anyway. And I don't need all this information. There's way too much information. There's way too much stuff going on at once. All I need every day, like these 24-hour channels for everything, the news and talking and everything, I don't need all this stuff. What I need is that one half hour. I just need that half hour of Scott Pelley on the CBS Evening, News. It's all I need. I need a guy who lifts muscles, and I could trust, lifts muscles, lifts weights to get muscles, and sits there in a great suit, and is, it's just the machismo template, and he's just going to give me the news, say the news, and he's going to send me over to people who are out there doing the news out there, and they do reports, and they come back and forth, and there are these guys, and that's all I need. That's all I need, guys and gals. And then, you know, when Scott does that, I'm ready. for it. And that's really all I need. I don't need the 7 hours. I don't need 4 hours of news. I don't need the local news and the news down the block and then the news in the world, the news across the street. I need just that, to just capsulize it and put it together. I don't go to my phone. I'll go to my internet and start reading every paper in the world. I don't need all that stuff. And you know what? Neither do you. Oh, who am I to say what you need? Is that the way it goes here? My name is Frank Catone, the man whose name is doing the title of the show. And we're hoping Dr. Gary Popoli will be available when he's supposed to be, because he's a doctor, and I'm in an appointment with him, and I'm not going to be one of these things. You ever go to a doctor's appointment? I got a 9 o'clock appointment. It's 10:30. You still haven't gone in? I know. And who am I to say that? Who is we are waiting? Well, we are waiting means me and... You know, I was thinking about this because there's going to be a point where you're not going to be even a temporary co-host, because you won't even be on the premises. You'll be gone. I was thinking about that today. Jeremy Long is with us, he's going to be gone because you're going to be going out to the other coast, and yeah. And with the time difference and everything, it's just going to be impossible to do anything except show up every now and then. On the show, you know?
Yeah, I might be able to pop in via Skype once in a while, yeah, but I won't be here as frequently as I am now.
Not just that, but it's not just that. It's like 6 o'clock, 6:30. That's a tough time in LA to actually do this. I always appreciate guys like when Tom Savino's on, he has to make all these arrangements to be on at 6:30.
Yeah.
There's traffic. There's all sorts of things going in and out. Don't think the traffic's just going into the city. The traffic's going in and out, and all around. The arteries, the underneath, the overpasses, the underpasses. I'm telling you, wait till you get to the 405. Wait till you get to the 5, and the 405, and the. There's a whole bunch of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah,
there's a sound right there. They're already, what are they, trying to get in touch with us already? They're calling us, they're seeing our smartphones. And I don't need all this information. My name is Frank Atone. My name is the title of the show. Okay? Coming up on the January 30th, which is the next, we may do a whole, maybe we'll have some Chinese people on the 30th and do a Chinese New Year thing. Maybe we'll have, do you know any Chinese people be willing to come in? And, of course, you say
yeah,
yes.
Well,
yeah, because you go to school with Chinese people. Well, what is this, kind of a what am I trying to say, cultural?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of Chinese people in my school.
Well, why doesn't one of them come by and talk to us next week about this Chinese New Year thing?
Because I didn't know anything about it until now.
Well, you should know. You go to college. You should know about Chinese New Year. I mean, what is it? Don't you know that?
I didn't know that was the topic of next week's show.
Well, it is now. Look, Dr. Popoli is online.
He is online.
The doctor's in the house. This means therapy. This means, we don't even know. We usually talk about what we're going to talk about before we talk about it, but we don't. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a good thing you're here, Jeremy. Because the doctor may be able to help. He's very good at this stuff.
Yeah. A lot of doctors don't see me.
They don't see you? They won't see you.
Why? They refuse to see me.
You know, he's wearing one of these New York, we used to call them taxi cab driver hats. These hats, what do they call those now? It's not a fedora. It's not a fedingo.
No.
It's not a falubo. It's not a cap. It's not a hat. It's a hat. What is it?
I'm not even sure what the technical name is.
Yeah, I mean, what if you went to a store and you wanted to buy one of those things? What would you tell the guy? Let me have one of those hats with the... It's not a... And it doesn't have a brim, but it does. And why would you talk like this if you went in there? You know what I like to do every once in a while? I like to go into a store and have a completely different character. I just go in character. And I walk in, let's say I want to buy something. What do I want to buy? Give me an
gum.
Huh?
Gum.
I could walk into a 7-Eleven or you can't walk into a 9-Eleven because it's too dangerous. Walk into a 7-Eleven or a turkey duck, a turkey, what is it called? Piggy wiggy, little piggy.
What country are you in?
There's Piggly Wiggly if you're in, you don't know about Piggly Wiggly. You haven't been down south, huh?
There's none
around
here.
I'm down south, I'm Piggly Wiggly. I'm down to Piggly Wiggly. You want to get some of that pork? It's just that's a template, template mentally challenged Southern American person. But I'd go in and I just pick a voice at the spur of the moment. I don't plan this. I just walk in and you just walk up to the person. And this is really great if they're like Pakistani or something, because they don't know what's going on. If you try, you could fool anybody. You could fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. You know who said that? Abraham Lincoln. You know what happened to him, don't you? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So you walk in and you say, And you just, I walk up to the guy and go, where's your gum? Just look right. And well, here's what happens instantly. Let me tell you what happens. This is a psychological reaction. The person doesn't want to make a comment, doesn't want to laugh, because for all they know, that's really how you speak. So you have them in the palm of your hands. At that moment, you have every... How about this? Don't even ask for gum. Go like this. Excuse me? What? Yeah, no, excuse me? If he's Italian, he goes, hey, excuse me. And if he's Chinese, he goes, excuse me. Whatever he says, he goes, huh? And you go, you know, it's according to how long you want to actually do this.
I've done it before.
Okay, it's not a popular pastime, I understand. I just like to do stupid things because I think everybody takes everything too seriously. I mean everything. Mm-hmm. When I say everything, I'm talking all of it.
Yeah.
All right? Name a topic or a subject.
Okay. The weather.
Too seriously. We take it too seriously. It was the lead story tonight. The lead story was, and Scott went, and the deep freeze continues.
Handsome Anchorman.
On the CBS Evening News. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I love
the
Scott.
The Handsome
yeah.
Anchorman.
Yeah, the handsome news, we call it.
Handsome News.
Scott
man.
Pelley and the whole deal. Gary Popoli is here with us. So anyway, if you go into a store.
Did you remind Popoli that it's a 2-hour show and that he should
Popoli
be
Popoli knows. He knows. He's been here so many times. He's sick of it. But actually, hasn't been here in a long time. Speaking of long times, don't forget February 5th. On the John Matthews radio show, I will be there, and John, your favorite, my favorite, and probably the most honest conservative radio show ever, because hey, you know, he does things. He doesn't just sit there and blow smoke out his face, even though I don't agree with him on just about anything. What does that matter? No, he's not like that other guy, and a lot of those other guys.
No, he's not a flibbertigibbet.
He's not a flibbertigibbet, no. If anything, I'm the flibbertigibbet on his show. I'll be on there. We'll be talking about something we both agree, and we'll bring out, we will present it to our audience, to his audience, and then on the 6th of February, that's here, we'll be here. We'll continue the show. He'll be on my show, I'll be on his show, he'll be on my show, I'll be on his show. It's a kind of a sharing type thing where we do each other's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
Yeah.
That's community, the community of alternative broadcasting right here, Y2K plus 14 at all. And I want you to go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and I want you to look at all those other stations that carry this show through the week. Do you know we're on at least five times a week on True Talk Radio in Quebec? Tonight they heard a report and they say Quebec. They don't say Quebec. We say Quebec. Yeah. Us, it's Quebec.
It's an American dialect.
Yeah, Quebec. Where do you go? Hugo? Who's Hugo? We have no idea.
Hugo?
I'll go wherever I go. You go. Wherever you go, I go. This is Cotola Chronicles, that's me. We're here. This is Y2K plus 14. We're not, listen, there are no needles or funny smoke involved in this, regardless of what's legal, what's eagle or ill-eagle. Hey, what's a sick bird, an ill-eagle? They're just popping right out there. It's unbelievable. I'm on automatic. You know why? Because I don't take any of it seriously. Then John Matthews, then February 13th. I don't know if Eva Moon's going to be here. I have no idea. Aww. We're going to move on into February with, you know, Heather. I talked with Heather recently. She's going to be on. We're going to have some neo postmodernism. Heather Drain, right.
Hey, we got to get, Academy Award nominee.
We got to get, Robin Matthews. Yeah. I keep calling her Karen for some reason. I don't know if Robin's just, I don't know if she's going to be on. I think she that's kind of like, you know what that'll be like? That'll be like a jinx. You know, they're very superstitious. To be on before or at,
well, don't get her on before the award.
No, but we'll maybe get Robin. I'd love.
Then she'll win.
If she won, it would be great.
You can get her on after.
I'd vote for, I'm getting all the people I know in Hollywood to vote for it just because, you know, the Academy Awards are just one, it's just one big, we already know who's going to win some of them, okay? Yeah. We know already. And so the odds are incredible. If you want to bet them, you can actually through the betting exchanges. It's not legal per se. It used to be legal. No, not legal, but it used to be overlooked here in the United States. In fact, I won a couple of bets I won on Jodie Foster 1 year. She was 8-1 in that movie, The Accused. Ooh, what a score, huh? I lost a couple of other MJ. That would be a big score, Jody, because you know what I'm talking about? Right, well, look, she admitted it, okay?
Yeah, well, we all knew.
And what else do we got to do? We got books. We're not going to, can we, I don't want you to sell books. Go to Amazon and get License to Skill. What else? What do you, go to Lulu?
Blurb.
Lulu?
Oh, Lulu.
Go
has...
to Blurb, get a Molotov Memoirs. Go to Lulu and get, which ones are at Lulu again?
Turk Bahrain.
Turk, but the Return of Turk Bahrain. You're going to want that.
Skull and Roses.
Skull and Roses is not a book you want to read to your kids before they go to sleep. Read the other one. What's the other one? Moon Over
Gorgon.
Moon Over Gorgon is my favorite. You know, that's like, if someone came up to me and said, hey, Frank, what's your favorite of your books? And I would say, the stuff in Moon Over Gorgon still makes me laugh. Turk Bahrain is good, and it's funny.
Turk Bahrain's my favorite. Yeah, Gorgon's a close second.
Gorgon's a close second, you know? It's a good. Moon Over Gorgon. Who, you know, and you gotta say this. Who would have the audacity to even name a book Moon Over Gorgon, right? Because people would say, what does that mean, you know? And that's the voice you can use when you go in tomorrow. Go in and buy, just make it like you're going to go buy a sweater. Go into, like, what is that, Old Navy? New Army? There's an Army Navy store, and yet there's an Old Navy. I wonder if the Army Navy stores are, is Old Navy related to the Army Navy? Is Old Navy an Army Navy store, or just a Navy store? My father used to take me to the Army Navy store. I was like 8 or 9 or 10. And I used to love to go. I don't know why. There were just all these very masculine things. My father would go into the Army Navy store. And that's what he said was the Army Navy store. And it was, and it did. Big coats, you know, gloves, boots, dungarees, as they used to call them back in those days. I used to love to go out to the Army Navy store with my dad. My dad used to take me to the Army Navy store. My name is Frank Cotolo. My man's name is on the title of the show. Gary Popoli's here. Dr. Gary Popoli, Professor Gary Popoli. He's the head of psychoanalysis, teaching and dissection at the University of Maryland and the Baltimore Institute of Higher Brainiatic Emotions. He's always working somewhere else. He's so much in demand. It's kind of like, he's kind of like, what would he be in demand? And you know what? I don't really know. And he'll tell us as we move along. And that's all we really have to say. We're going to get Dr. Popoli, and he's always reading these, trade magazines, newspapers or newsletters or whatever they have for behavioral science. He really does know a lot. And he really does tell us a lot of things. And if he could ever get to the bottom of what's wrong with me, I think he would win. He'd probably win the Academy Award of Behavioral Scientist.
What do you think it's called?
I don't know. The Emoto. Emoto, the what?
Instead of the Academy Awards, they're also known as the Oscars. So maybe.
Yeah, they're also known as the Oscars. So what would it be? The Bippies? The Ippies? The Tippies? The Squeakies?
There isn't one yet, and they'll call it the Popolis.
The Popolis. That would be. And now the winner of the 1999 Popoli. Now, where did I go to 99? I don't understand that. We have nothing else, really nothing else to say. There's plenty of places to go. At Frank Cotolo for Twitter. The Daily Meds is coming up. We got at Jeremy Long, MD, even when he moves to California. It's just at Jeremy Long, MD?
Yeah.
Jeremy Long, MD. And you could follow him. He says funny things once in a while. He writes them. He doesn't say them. Actually, you can say them because you got Vines, too. If people want to go see your Vines, what do you do? Where do they go?
Well, you have to have the app for that, unfortunately.
Well, that's not unfortunate. Plenty of people out there listening right now on smartphones, and they can get apps.
Yeah, but it's not
apps.
Like a website you can just go to.
Well, they can get apps.
So you get the app for Vine, and then you search Jeremy Long. Oh, it's Jeremy M. Long.
Jeremy M. Long.
And there I am, and you can watch our Vines.
So you don't use the D for the Vine.
No.
Okay, the D is only for...
Only for Twitter.
Confusing. The D
and
is for Twitter.
And then Facebook has none of them.
No, nothing. It's just Jeremy Long. Yeah, you can go over there to Facebook.
And then don't forget...
What?
To email... Winston Simmons Productions.
Oh, that's right. That's right. For
at gmail.com.
Find out about that there documentary that you can get.
I already have many people inquiring about it.
So. Yeah, good, because I have to remind me after the show. I'll talk to you about that too. Okay. And what else? I can't even imagine. I have nothing else to really sell or anything. What we're going to do is we're going to move along and get Dr. Popoli to talk to us about something, because he's always fun. And you know what's great about Dr. Popoli too? Stupid jokes are on the horizon.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he does. He I don't know. You've never been on when he's on, have you, Jeremy?
No, but I did meet him once.
At an
event.
Oh, did where would you have met him? I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I could have swore I met him.
No, you probably met Dr. Woldar You met Dr. Waldor one of my St. Thomas shows.
No, he was at the Perking Point.
At the Perking Point shows. Those shows, they're gone.
They're ancient.
That's gone. That's history. Ain't going any more shows out there. That point is not Perking with me, baby. No more Perking with Point. Go to St. Thomas Roasters if you're in town. Hey, I'll be there next week. Wait a second. I'll be there next week on the 31st, which is literally Chinese New Year Day. And I just realized I'm going to do all the songs I do in Chinese.
Yeah.
Or in American, or in Chinese American dialect.
Give us a sample.
Like this. I can't get to no satisfaction. I can do satisfaction.
Yeah.
Or I can do, I rest my heart in, because San Francisco has a big Chinese community.
Yeah.
I rest my heart in San Francisco. Oh, it's going to be great. Come on down to Pennsylvania. Get your, you got a week. You don't even need a week. Get a plane ticket.
Yeah.
Come on down to, where is that? Lingolstown.
You can all stay at Frank's house.
At Lingolstown. Thank you for that.
You don't have to pay for a hotel.
No, you have to pay for my house. Not for a hotel. And come on down. If you're anywhere in the state of Pennsylvania, then come on down there too. Come on down. St. Thomas Roasters. It's a great place. You should go there anyway. But if you want to come see my Chinese New Year show at St. Thomas Roasters, it's going to be great. It is not, listen, it's all in fun. Don't take it so seriously. There's nothing off color about it. There's nothing politically incorrect. It's just fun. People who come to our shows at St. Thomas Roasters, they sit down and they have a lot of fun. They drink and they have fun. And some of you want to sing a song, they'll sing a song. You want to dance, you can do anything you want in our shows because we don't take them seriously. And neither does our audience. I want everybody to come down. There's people who say, I need a lot of notice. What? We got people here? What is this? That's you? Is it Vine?
Popular songs in Chinese.
Who can I turn to? Wait a second, this is racist. Who can I turn to? Oh, that is racist. Who can I turn to? No, I'm serious. Hey, don't worry about it. If you know that. I know I have a great, I am, for all due purposes, or, Oriental. I wrote The Complete and Unabridged History of Japan.
Which
nobody
is a close
can
third.
Say, yeah, nobody, the close third favorite book. Nobody could ever call me a racist based on all that stuff. Cause I am the man. I know that deep down inside I'm Oriental. I know everything about it. So, and come the Italian New Year, I could do Italian too. I don't care. I'll do the Italian New Year too. And I do Italian songs and I do almost, look, it's a lot of fun.
You do Greek songs.
I do Greek songs. I've done, Never on Sunday, which was written by a Greek.
Yeah.
I don't only do Never on Sunday, I do the whole album. Never on Monday, Never on Tuesday, Never on Wednesday, Never on Thursday, Never on Friday, and I end with Never on Saturday. And if it's a week, it starts on Sunday. Never on Sunday. Always. Let's get Dr. Popoli. Let's get him on the phone. Let's see if it works now. Let's see if this works with Dr. Dr. Gary Popoli. We are calling him right here at Cotolo Chronicles. And he should know what. Does it work?
Hey!
Is it working?
Let's see if it works now.
He's got, look, get the delay. He's listening to it. It's on a delay. Doc?
It's good to know he heard everything.
There he is now. There he is. We can't listen like this.
Are you there?
I'm here, but, you got to turn it off so you can hear because there's a delay. It shouldn't be a delay, actually, anymore.
Why?
Well, because we're hooked up through the encoders on the apps. It actually shouldn't be. But maybe it's because he's in Maryland.
How's that?
That's fine. How are you?
Buddy, I'm fabulous.
Stop playing with the microphone and talk into it.
I just have it sitting on the desk because, I'm not real good at all this stuff.
I know, but, okay, you're getting close. You're getting close to being absolutely, completely heard.
I lost two tests. I'm looking for two tests. I lost them.
Well, listen, Happy New Year. We haven't heard from you.
Same to you.
Such
Same to you. And listen, I have a couple comments.
Okay,
Uh-oh.
You ever heard that? Right off the bat.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Where was that in our show of expressions?
First of all, you were talking about Hugo.
Yes.
Now, wasn't that Mr. Magoo's partner?
Did Mr. Magoo have a partner?
Huh?
Yeah, Hugo Agogo.
Boy, I don't remember that. I guess I never took you for a big Mr. Magoo fan, but apparently I was wrong. You know more about him than
Hugo,
I than
Gogo was the guy that used to sit in the car with him.
Okay.
He was the Chinese guy.
You don't have to yell at me. I'm sorry. I don't know.
He was Chinese.
He was Chinese.
He was.
Invite him to your show at Roasters.
You've never met my now and again co-host, there's Mr. Jeremy Long, name. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Hi, Popley.
Is Jeremy Long?
Yes.
Okay. Here's my other point.
Oh, good.
At least one more? I noticed that you have this new book, License to Skill.
Yes, what a great book.
Okay.
A close fourth.
What about it? Have you bought it yet?
You always, I've done you a few favors. I thought the least you could do is send me a copy of the books. Because, I love to read.
I know that. The License to Skill is only available on as in a digital form.
Yeah. Okay, great.
You want that? Do you have a smartphone?
A smartphone?
Yeah. How are you going to read it?
I have a smartphone, but I really don't know how to use it too well. But anyway.
Well, I'll send you some books. Where are you now, though? You changed your telephone number. Does that mean you're... where are you now?
I'm the same place. I just have a different carrier.
You had a battle.
I shop around, and once my contract was up, I switched carriers for half the price.
Let's remind everybody that this is Dr. Gary Popley. He's talking from the land of his birth, I think, and he's the chief physician at the Institute of Mental Health in tell everybody where you teach and you're not a DDS, that would be a dentist. You're what do you have at the end? You're a PhD, right?
PhD, right.
He's a PhD, friends.
Right.
Don't let those. So
I teach. I'm currently teaching at Stevenson University. Mm. I'm currently teaching at Hartford Community College, and some of my students from Hartford who took their final exam today for the winter session said they were going to listen in. Uh-huh. And I start Monday teaching three courses at the Community College of Baltimore County.
Well, those community colleges are really getting a bargain for you because you could teach at a well-paying college and stuff. You don't have to be. Community college kids are what? Aren't they considered cheap?
Hey, don't give them a bad rap.
You know what I mean.
No, not at all. No.
You know what I mean, right?
The thing is, they pay me $250,000 a course.
Yeah, you don't have to tell us what you paid.
And so it doesn't matter if you teach, at the community college or university, I make $250,000.
Okay, well then I was wrong, I'll be wrong again as the night goes on. You and I haven't talked in so long, I don't know what you've been studying or what you've been looking at and reading and what you've been doing in terms of the world.
I'll tell you a couple of things about that in a second, but
okay.
Hold on.
First is more, right? Go ahead.
Why did you spell license with a C?
L-I-C-E-N-S-E, how's it spelled?
L-I-C-E-N-C-E.
How's it spelled?
Well, both are actually proper, but in the U.S. it's usually S-E.
No. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, I did it some way. That's why. I don't know. I don't know why. I have no idea why I did it that way.
Why is he not wearing pants right here in the studio?
I don't know.
Frank Cotolo is an anomaly. That's why.
I'm a little things like that bug me. It's like when I see the sign that's misspelled, I don't like it. But
yeah, meanwhile, you tell me about tornadic activity like as if it's real.
Right. But here's the other thing I wanted to tell you.
Good.
You know the whole Quebec thing?
Yeah, Quebec. Yeah.
It's not Quebec.
That's what they say in Canada.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing. There is a proper way to speak the English language. And Q-U has the sound qu. It's Quebec. Now, it's like the people who live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, who say they live in Lancaster. Well, Lancaster might be the way they say it, but that's not how you pronounce it. It's Lancaster.
You know, in
it's
California,
like people that live near me, they tell you that they're from Balmer. Well, actually, they're from Baltimore.
Well, yeah, but they're taking the T out. Lancaster and Lancaster are just that's just a different syllable that they put in California. There's a place. There's a town called Lancaster. They call it Lancaster. They don't say Lancaster. Lancaster comes from the fact that the Germans and the English guys, whatever, is English. That's Lancaster. If you go to England, Worcester. You say Worcester like they do in Boston. Right? Say Worcester, and it's Worcester. You know, Worcester. You take the Chester and you make it into a stir. That is the English language. I might add, the English language came from that country. So if you're going to start complaining, complain to them.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, it's Quebec. I don't care how they say it, but it's Quebec.
Okay, all right, we'll say Quebec.
They don't pronounce it properly. It is their fault.
You haven't been on in such a long time, and you come on, and you're just filled with angst.
Well, you know, I told you I was looking for these two tests.
You can find them?
I can't find them. But anyway.
Tell us the courses that you tell everybody, the courses you're teaching.
I'm teaching Introduction to Psychology. I'm teaching human development across the lifespan. Now, I was teaching research methods and statistics, but it was consuming a tremendous amount of my time, and there were some people involved in all that I had to rely on, and it just made my life more difficult. So it was a little stressful for me. So, yeah. You know, I have other things that I need to do. So I kind of retracted from teaching that.
Well, that's okay. Sounds like a very heavy load,
a bunch
of stuff there, because you have how many students are in each class? Hundreds, right?
Well, I average about 32 a class. So this semester I'm going to be teaching 6 or 7 classes, so 200 and some students I have.
And you can't find tests? I mean, is this something?
I can't find the test.
Should your students be concerned now if you can't even find their tests?
They don't have to study now.
Yeah.
I don't know where I put them, to be honest with you. Mm. I know they're around here somewhere, but I just don't know where.
Well, don't look for them now.
I'm not looking for them now.
Those children, are they still children or are they adults? Do you have any? What's the average age of people you teach?
I would say the average age is probably 22, 23, maybe.
Okay.
Okay, because some of them are, you know, coming back to school either to change careers or just for curiosity's sake or whatever, and they're a little bit older, so if you know the average, you know, it tends to gravitate towards the center of the curve, you know.
So you actually get people who come to school and take a course just because, you know, they want to get out and they just want to do something and they...
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So it's like a social thing.
Well, you know, I teach a weekend course up at the Hartford Community College. I'm the only one that's ever taught the weekend psychology course. And it's a... You know, many of my students are parents and their spouses stay home because we go to school on Saturdays. And so then they can get some, you know, the spouse watches the child and, you know, they get to get out for a few hours and come to class. And it's only 4 weekends that they have to give up and then they get credit for the whole course. And it's a nice setup. So I get a little bit older students in that class.
Do you think that they take... I mean, I'm sure they learn because I know you're a good teacher, but what do you think they take with them, these people who aren't doing it to collect credits and get a degree or what have you? What do you think they take with them? What do you think they learn?
I think they're a little bit surprised as to how teaching goes, you know, these days as compared to, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Because we have the smart boards
and we have the PowerPoints, and we have the videos embedded in there.
What does that have to do with how they learn? I mean, what do they learn? Either way, you learn some or you don't learn it, whether someone's telling you or you're watching a PowerPoint or you're watching an 8mm film like they did. Remember those big – you remember those big – when they used to show films? Jeremy doesn't know this because he's just a kid too. Oh, come on.
Yeah,
they used to bring in those
– reels.
Yeah, they used to bring
in –
and they rolled in the projector.
You forgot. I used to work in a movie theater.
Right.
Yeah, but that's,
Remember it always used to start off with, like, the countdown?
Yes. Beep, beep, 10, 9, right. Yeah. The teacher didn't even know how to...
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, and then
it would start. Three numbers.
And you'd always have those flashes of light in there because of the film.
They didn't know how, I used to love when the film would get stuck and it would start to burn. Do you remember that? And it'd stop at a frame and the light would burn right through it and you'd suddenly see the...
It melts.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, the film used to melt.
Now nothing.
Yeah, now they don't have that.
No excitement at all.
Now we just got YouTube.
Yeah, just, you know. But anyway, okay, so you think that people... us other than the students who are doing courses and you think their lives enrich their lives? Do they
yes,
allow?
I do.
Yeah, so you.
And
so,
the only reason I say that is not because I'm, you know, trying to be boastful and you know, but they come back when I see them.
Uh-huh.
You know, I run into many students outside of the classroom and outside of school.
Yeah.
And my wife and I went to dinner the other night, and this young lady comes up to our table and said, I think you were my psychology teacher 8 years ago. And that was the best class that I ever took. And even though I didn't go into psychology, I still remember Skinner and, you know, and they'll tell me things like that. So of course that's the best compliment that you can get. And I do think that they take something away with them.
Well, they obviously take the memory of you, and that's all they say. And they remember
exactly.
B.F. Skinner.
Right.
And they remember B.F. Skinner. They go, you know, if it wasn't for you, Mr. Popoli, I'd have never read that B.F. Skinner guy. And didn't he do the Modern Walden? Was that B.F. Skinner? What was the Modern Walden?
The Modern Walden?
Yeah, the guy, it was called Walden Unlimited. What was the guy who did that?
You know.
He's laughing like I don't know.
Did he live near a pond?
Yeah, well, it was called Walden something. I thought that was B.F. Skinner. Name a B.F. Skinner book.
Hey, what's that, the new cow?
No, the cow's gone. Yeah, he don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little louder, please.
All right.
The B.F. Name a B.F. Skinner book, because I remember B.F. Skinner, and you didn't teach me. What was the name of that book I'm thinking?
You sure it wasn't Reinforcement? Theory or something.
Now forget it.
Just
forget about it. You know, nobody come. Two kids came up to me many years ago. I was in Red Robin. Two guys come up to me in Red Robin. Two young guys, and they swore, and they went, "Oh my goodness, Mr. Scorsese, can you give me your autograph?" They thought I was Martin Scorsese. Who's that? Oh, he taught B.F. Skinner. Let's move on.
All right.
To our discussion. Right. Aye, aye, aye.
That's how it relates.
I know. That's how it relates. Let's move on to our discussion. What is on your mind these days, or what is on the mind of the community, of the behavioral science community, that would affect all of us these days in this Y2K plus 14? We're in the 14th year.
Well, let me tell you what some of the hot topics are.
Go ahead.
Some of the hot topics are the legalization of marijuana and how that is going to affect our society, the legalization of gay marriage and how that is going to imagine all the research that's going to come out of that on parenting and raising children and so forth.
Especially if they're smoking illegal dope at the same time.
Right. But, you know, in Maryland here, they're starting to talk about decriminalizing marijuana. And so I heard that they were going to change the speed limit on 95 to 6.
Oh, so you're already working on a comedy routine about this. No wonder you're so popular in the classroom. Hey, you know what? And it doesn't. Now, wait a second.
Some of the hot topics.
I'm going to tell you something. Somebody brought up something, and I heard it recently about
marijuana.
Yeah, we are. It's like if it becomes legal in any way, shape, or form, why would people who sold it? I mean, aren't they going to grandfather the law? Why would people be in jail still? Why would they be serving sentences if it's suddenly legal? They can't grandfather that?
They might have a lot of customers.
So that doesn't answer my question, or it does? Because I'd lost you.
But listen, here's the thing.
Sometimes I'm glad I'm not in your class, to be honest.
Here's what I want you to think about, though. And this isn't, you know, I didn't come up with this, but somebody else did.
What?
There are two places where marijuana is legal, two states. One is Colorado. One is the state of Washington.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Right.
Now, those states, but yeah.
You know what two teams are going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Right? Well, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about this. What does that have to do with
you
that?
You missed the whole point.
You bet I did.
Bowl. You know, Denver, Seattle.
Okay, that's Colorado, Colorado and Washington.
Right, where marijuana is legal.
Okay.
Okay, so they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with this? What about the people who are in prison I'm talking about?
The people that are in prison?
Yeah, what happens to them? If
Super
serving...
Bowl is what I smoke my legal marijuana.
You smoke it out of a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Right, so Super Bowl. Get it? You know, two teams smoking it. All right. But here's what I think. I think that they would have to grandfather them out.
So, yeah, wouldn't they have to? I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on TV or radio, but that seems to me like it would be unfair.
Yeah, I think it would be unfair.
Right?
I think it would be unfair.
But that's a whole other, that's a culture.
I think people who are in the prisons, you know, the administration of prison systems probably would welcome that.
Because
there's a lot of people who don't go to prison because they're so full. So it would open up a lot of slots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
For people who actually deserve to be.
People who deserve to be in prison.
Right. Right.
But if it, yeah, okay. All right. So anyway, that's just that. I guess that's not part of what you talk about. When you talk about these things, you don't know any. This is all speculation anyway, isn't it?
Absolutely. But see what it does. It brings up critical thinking.
Ah, critical thinking. My little book is still here. I did a whole show on critical thinking. Here's the book. Didn't you send me this book?
I sent it to you.
Yeah, The Miniature Guide to Critical Thinking Concepts and Tools. I did a whole show on this. This is a great book, this book.
Is it Paul and Elder?
Yes, Dr. Richard Paul and Dr. Linda Elder. Did they ever have sex with one another, do you know?
I don't know, but well, here's what I'm telling you. We're dropping them.
You are?
Yeah, we're going to go in a different direction.
Uh-oh. This is going to be no good anymore?
Because I'm only adjunct.
But she's an educator.
I don't know all of the reason why all of this, but...
She's taught both psychology and critical thinking at the college level, Elder. She has? Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And just so anyway, but it's still... So when you start talking about these things that are speculative, you know, all of psychology or most of psychology is theory. And, and so we encourage critical thinking in the students and have them start thinking of, you know, originally the discussion will start out with, they'll say, oh, yeah, we should legalize marijuana. And then you start getting into the critical thinking. Well, what's going to happen when someone has an accident under the influence of marijuana? And then what's going to happen, you know, like you said, with the people who are already in prison who were put in there because of marijuana? And, you know, when are they going to lower the age group for those who can buy marijuana? And does it really lead to harder drugs, which the research seems to show that? So, you know, there's a lot of questions to be answered. So when you bring it up in class, you know, right away they have an opinion, but then they start thinking about all these different issues, and then sometimes they'll change their opinion.
Dr. Gary Popley's with us here at Cthulhu Chronicles, Watcher Kipler 14. And it's been a while since he's been on. He hasn't been on since last year. And they're talking about some of the things that are being talked about in his classes at the University of Maryland and the University of Colorado, you said, right? And the University of Washington.
Community College of Baltimore County.
There you go. The Community College of Baltimore.
Stevenson University.
Stevenson University, of course, named after Eldridge Stevenson, the famous man who found the found that part of the brain, the cortex. And that, of course, that is the part of the brain that gives us pleasure and allows us to blow up balloons. And I don't know. I think we talked about that once before. Who is the Stevenson guy? It's not Adlai Stevenson, is it?
No, actually, it's the part of Maryland where it's located.
Oh, it's well, that's got to be named after a guy. You don't just name a place Stevenson, right? I mean, Washington, D.C. What's the name? Let's call it Washington. Well, it's Washington because that was our first president. And then it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to name it Washington. They named all state Washington.
Yeah,
how
well,
many presidents?
They wanted to smoke pot there.
Name another president that has a state named after him.
That has a state named after them?
Yeah.
Is there one?
I don't think you're going to find it. I don't think you're going to find it because there isn't.
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a second. What? How about Arkansas?
What's that named? Who?
That's named after Allen.
Allen, Arkansas? He wasn't a president.
I know.
Allen Arkin?
Yeah, Allen Arkin. That's all I could think of. All right. Let's talk about the gay marriage thing.
Hey, you know what's an interesting psychological thing? Maybe you could tell me this here. Maybe you could do it before we get to the top of the hour here. Maybe you could tell me this, because I noticed this. People who tell jokes, people will tell you a joke, or someone who really knows how to tell you a joke, or tell you a joke, and then there seems to be some imperative need. Something imperative in the person who hears it to like be funny again, to tell them back. Or someone says a funny thing, and right. Then the other person has to say think something is funny. They have to like almost compete. They can't
it puts you in the mood.
Is that why do people do that? You know, why do they do that? I think that's really embarrassing for the person who tells the joke. It's really embarrassing. You know what I'm talking about, Jeremy?
Yeah.
You tell a joke and then someone goes, "Yeah," and then there's a dick, and they tell you the worst piece of crap.
They feel like they have to top it.
Yeah, it's like you top it or say it or get into it or who asked you to join this joke telling club, pal? I tell the people why did you just do that? It's content. Why do people do things like that psychologically?
You made them laugh, so they try to make you laugh.
But they feel that...
And as you know, we live in a very violent society. And people are usually doing the opposite things. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, did you bump into me? Yeah, what is it? What do you want to do about it? You know, it turns violent.
Are you talking to me?
When people start joking around, people cherish that. They like to stay in that mood for a while.
Want to fight about it?
And you know, it's that particular exchange has made itself into the social networking world. Because if you go to Facebook and someone puts up a picture, and it's a funny picture, you know, people are compelled to make a comment that they think is smart or funny about it, right? And they put the most ridiculous garbage up there. I mean, you see it, you're funny, you laugh, you move on. Why do you have to put a comment makes no sense whatsoever?
But here's the thing, though.
What's the thing?
You take someone like you. As witty as you are, doesn't it make you laugh when somebody puts something out there that is so stupid it makes no sense?
You know what's amazing? I find that if I watch something that's really stupid, I'm in a room alone, and I could be embarrassed in a room alone with nobody there. I go like, oh, my God, that's horrible. It's a terrible dog. God, that's horrible. So the answer is no. I don't. It doesn't. I can't imagine. I don't write anything unless I feel like, you know, I think, well, anyway. I just wonder how these exchanges that people do, because people who, you know, who aren't funny, period. Well, why would they, you know, but they're going to say something, and then they have that, you know, nervous laughter? What is it with nervous laughter?
That's a defense mechanism.
It is. Okay. That's defense.
And see, here's the other thing.
What?
In all honesty.
Yeah, I want it in all honesty.
You've known me for a long time. And you know I'm not funny.
Mm-hmm. No, I know
that I'm not funny.
I know you're not.
So when I say something that I think is funny, it makes me laugh because I know right away that you think it's not funny.
Well, our exchange is repetitive, and it's something that we've done over and over again. But I mean, there's somebody you don't know, and you talk, you know, and they do that, or they're going that nervous laughter. That's like, geez, yeah.
How about the people that laugh and they have no idea what the joke is?
Oh yeah, they're just afraid, aren't they?
That's what we call conditioning.
That's conditioning. Well, you know, before I was talking, did you hear me talking about go into a store and play these games with people? Like, make, you know, if you say something or you act ridiculous and people don't immediately want to react because if they laugh, they think they don't know if you're really, you know, something wrong with you. So they don't laugh. They don't know how to react to certain things. People.
You mean like when you walk up to the lady in Macy's who has the white coat on, who works at the perfume counter? Mm-hmm. And she says, "Can I help you?" And you say, "Yeah, I'd like to get one of those new fishing rods you have on sale."
Yes, actually.
Right. Now here's what happens. See, in the facial expression world,
yeah,
their eyebrows go right down on an angle towards their nose. Their eyes, they won't blink at you. They'll just look.
Ah, okay.
And then they'll say, that everybody says the same thing. You know what they'll say?
No, what?
That's what they say.
What?
What?
What? They go,
yeah,
what?
They say, "I'd like to get one of those fishing rods you have on sale."
As opposed?
And they'll pause, and they'll just look at you, and they'll say, "What?"
This is the reason why I don't work behind a counter somewhere. When I did, and someone came in and did me, I'd go, "You stupid piece of garbage," I would say to them. "Do you see fishing rods around here? Do you know if this store even sells them? Have you ever been fishing? Because if you have, you must know where to buy the crap. Now, if you want your fishing rod to smell good, this is where you should be, because we have the perfume that can make it smell good. I can understand you wanting to smell good because fish stink." See, I would be like that, and then they would, you know.
They fire you.
Yeah, they'd fire me, man.
Right.
Just,
and well, that's okay.
But I know what you're saying. Okay, that's fascinating. And have you learned a lot from what people, have you not learned a lot, obviously you don't, but you could probably look at something like Facebook and look at all these people and see the things they write, and you could probably understand why people are writing certain things, because in the social, and we weren't going to talk about this, but in social networking, people do reveal themselves and say things that, aside from the fact that few people care what they're saying,
yeah,
you
but,
know, right?
But,
they reveal themselves. They have this. They're compelled to make statements and stuff. Correct?
Well, I think that they make statements that are lies.
Did you say lies?
Because I think in person they wouldn't say that.
But that I do that just for fun, though. But people actually do things. Then you know they feel more comfortable because nobody can react to it.
Exactly.
Ah.
And so, see, you can make yourself look however you want to make yourself look, even though you're not like that. However, let me just tell you this.
Go.
There was a study done on, and what they did, they looked at the number of friends that people have on Facebook.
Yes.
Versus the number of friends that they have in real life. And it's almost identical. If they have very few friends on Facebook, they have very few friends in life.
Now, that's a fascinating little thing here. We're at the top of the hour. Dr. Gary Popley's with us, and he is saying stuff that I don't think you're going to hear on any other show, except maybe on the Food Channel you'll hear something like that. But he's telling us stuff when we're talking about things. So Dr. Popley, of course, teaches at the Hartford Stevenson School for the marijuana. He's of course, Gary Popley is the senator from Maryland. No. He's with us here. Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo.
The newly appointed president of the American Psychological Association.
I'm the Bard of Broadcasting. Jeremy Long is with us. And my bodyguard just walked in the door. I have a bodyguard. You know, he's right behind us. Say hello, Raul.
How you doing?
Raul is a big guy. Let me tell you something about Raul. Kick your ass, Dr. Gary Popley. Okay, let's get...
That's all you need to know.
All you need to know. So let's get back to this now. I mean, I brought this up. But I don't want to take away from the stuff you were talking about, because those things are on people's minds, especially gay marriage, which seems to be busting out all over in terms of this country.
Yes. Yes. Now.
What?
For here's first question.
You're asking me questions?
No, I'm just being hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
It's a rhetorical.
What would be better, do you think? Gay parents who get along with one another, or heterosexual parents who fight all the time?
Well, first of all, that's a redundancy. Heterosexual parents who fight all the time are all our heterosexual parents. isn't that a redundancy? Heterosexual parents who fight all the time are all heterosexual parents. So so everybody has been raised.
I'm talking to...
What?
I'm
what are you talking about?
You know what I'm saying.
No, I don't. I just don't...
What's better, having... Okay, you have two women as parents, or you have two men as parents?
I know. How old are the women? How old are the women? Because I wouldn't mind having two women as parents. How?
This is an interesting topic because it is Raul an interesting has two moms.
Do you, Raul? You have two moms. So you have your own. We have somebody.
They probably fight more than an average. Like,
right listen now. To this, Dr. Gary Popoli. We have somebody on the premises right now who has a mom and a mom. That's Raul. I'm going to take this microphone off of you because Raul is going to play a big part in this here now. Raul has let's find out. Raul says that your moms are. So do you still live at home?
Yeah, I still live at home with my mom.
And you live with your moms?
My moms, yes.
Okay, Raul, this is Dr. Popoli.
How you doing, Dr. Popoli?
Fine, Raul. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Nice to meet you.
My pleasure.
Raul, by the way, is a fighting servant of this country and is awaiting a trip to Afghanistan where he's going to blow the heads off of every stinking no good man. But he has two moms. Now, why don't you ask him this question?
All right, Raul.
Yes.
How is it having two moms as parents?
And by the way, two moms don't make a right, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Typical Frank. I mean, like, from my experience, like, they've been together for 7 years. So, like, I think they fight a lot. Like, probably a lot more than, like, a man and a woman. Like, this is just my experience. I'm not saying it about, like, everyone's experience who has two parents of the same sex.
Right.
But from my experience, they fight more than when my mom was actually married to my dad, from what I believe.
You remember, though, you're comparing it with having a male and a female parent?
Yeah.
Okay, he's comparing it, and he says that his... Well, you heard him. So what do you got to say about that?
Okay, well, first of all, here's a couple things that I would say.
Go ahead.
How old were you when your father was in the picture?
My parents were divorced when I was 9 years old.
Okay, so what I'm probably going to guess is that they at least made a conscious effort to not be violent in front of you as much as they could possibly not be violent in front of you.
Yeah, I think, you're right on that one.
Right. And so now that you're older and you live with two moms, they probably don't have to have any reservations about arguing or fighting in front
of you. Because they're both the same gender.
And plus you're older and more mature. True. And you're in the military and you can handle yourself and you probably don't pay much attention to what they're saying.
Nope.
Right. So, you know, all those things. But if you have, let's just say you have a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, and an 8-year-old.
Okay.
And you have a man and a woman who are fighting all of the time, I would think that eventually the research would show that two parents of the same gender who don't fight would make better parents.
You know, where I was growing up in an Italian neighborhood, a lot of the guys that were growing up, they thought they had two dads. Because the Italian women had mustaches, and they didn't know. They had no idea their mother was. Okay, let's get back to this now. So what you're saying, to me, doctor, is that, and what you're saying to Raul is that. Same gender parents,
right?
Don't argue as much.
No. I'm not saying they don't argue.
No, you're saying. What did you say?
We don't know yet. See, we're waiting for the research to come out. But here's what I always hear. See, usually when it comes to gay marriage, again, it's like the abortion issue. There's very little gray area. Mm. Either people accept it, or it's totally against their religion, the Bible, and they totally dismiss it.
What about those of us who condone female gays, but not? I'm sorry. There are those of us who are in the middle. No, I see what you're saying. Right. You're right. It usually is that, because it becomes a moral issue to a lot of people, exactly. And they just say no. No. Marriage is a man and a woman, or abortion is death. An abortion of a man and a woman is not marriage, and two people who are aborted cannot marry each other. That's exactly what they say.
The thing is, a lot of people say that gay marriage is going to ruin marriage. I like to think in the longer run and say that, well, if we allow gay marriage, eventually they're going to get divorced, like most of the marriages that already happen between a man and a woman, and then they're going to be ruining divorce.
Have you ever heard the Robert Klein song about he's all for gay marriage because gay people deserve to be as miserable as everyone else?
Yeah,
right, that's good, right?
In my eyes, divorce should be something between a man and a woman.
Divorce should be something between a man. Well, we don't have any stats yet because we haven't had enough legal gay marriages.
Yeah.
But by definition, gay, they're happy marriages because they're gay marriages. And so by definition, I mean, talking about the English language, Dr. Popoli, right? I mean, it's a gay marriage.
That's true.
That's right.
That's
remember when a gay blade was just a guy who was happy and he ran around? He's a gay blade, right?
In the Flintstones song, they say gay.
They say in the Flintstones, let's sing in the Modern Age Family. Barney gives it to him. No, that was it, because they're gay, and that's a mystery.
Don't mention that till the end.
Fred does. He goes down on Barney twice. You got no.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Makes that with Betty every night.
I'm sorry, we're getting a little carried away here. We're with Dr. Gary Popoli, and our good friend Raul out of Canada. Raul is Arpanka. Hey, and with Jeremy M.D. Long and Dr. Gary Popoli, who of course is the moderator of the international event for emotionally crippled people of the state of Maryland, and teaches at four different colleges at the same time, which is amazing, but not in this world of technology, because he's allowed to do. He does it with a PowerPoint presentation. Some people who can teach, he teaches, they don't even ever see his face. He does it on the phone. He does it anyway. So gay marriages, do you think that, do you think, and this is Cotola Chronicles, by the way, do you think that we're going to have every state eventually legalize gay marriage?
No.
No?
No, I don't. I don't think every state's going to legalize marijuana, and, you know, every state's not going to legalize, drinking at age 14 or whatever the case may be. You know, because you do have certain states in which you see if you watch the TV on election night, who are more conservative than others, and
so then we also have states that will never believe in evolution.
Right? What?
We'll also have states where we won't believe, where people will not believe in evolution. It'll never be every state, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
They should make that legal. You know, should make that legal.
Yeah. I mean, it just won't
be. Evolution?
But what? See, as a scientist,
yes.
As a behavioral scientist,
that's you.
Again, I try to look at it from a behavioral research point of view. I don't, I'm not looking at the religion and what the Bible says and who agrees with it and who doesn't. I'm starting to generate the research questions.
Okay, I just realized.
So
hold on.
What are we going to do?
I know, but I
now,
just got
for
it.
For example,
can
let me give you an example.
This show?
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. But I was trying. You just kept talking. I just wanted to interrupt you for 1 second.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I just realized what it is. To yabba dabba two time. We'll have a two time. We'll have a gay old time.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't sing the end of it.
Yeah, but you didn't.
Go get your own show. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
shut up. All of you. Shut up. I'm sorry. Shut up. Now go ahead, Doc. Go ahead. Go back to you.
Let's take this statistic. couples who cohabitate
couples
before
being, yeah.
getting married have higher divorce rates.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, let's see, you know, 5-10 years from now, if that statistic holds true for gay marriages.
Okay.
People who get divorced, about 80% remarry within 3 years. Let's see if gay couples who get divorced remarry within 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these are some of the young couples, male and female couples, who cohabitate have more problems with alcohol. Let's see if gay couples who get married have more trouble with alcohol. You know, maybe they're going to have more trouble with marijuana, or maybe they won't have any trouble at all. You know, so we have all these research questions
what
and things
sex?
That we've been doing research on in terms of male and female marriages, but we don't have anything yet on gay marriage.
We're also going to get probably stuff on sex too, right?
What?
Sex? What? What? He's the guy.
His eyebrows went down.
Yeah, what? Your eyebrows went down.
They did. They went right to the point of my nose.
We are going to get statistics on sex too. In other words, will gay marriages have more sex than other marriages than heterosexual marriages? Will there be more sex in them? And if so, will they use vegetables? Sorry. It was just my own little joke there. But seriously, right? Well, we're going to
Let me ask you this.
What?
Who do you think, first of all, let me ask you this question. Let's take adolescent behavior.
Okay.
Adolescence.
Yeah, we know about that, don't we, guys?
What would you say would be the average, now there's actually been a study published on this, what would you think would be the average number of times for all adolescents that have sexual intercourse, the number of times in a year?
Now, okay, does this include gay sex or just sex between two different sexes?
Well,
or is it not? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I really don't know because
it's any kind of sex.
The gay population.
Okay, it's any kind of sex.
Small percentage.
Any kind of sex?
No, sexual intercourse.
Okay, what is sexual intercourse?
How many times a year would you predict for adolescents?
Well, what is an adolescent? What age group are we talking about here?
Let's say 14 to 20.
Well, I only had 3 14-year-olds this year. No, I'm joking. You guys, what is with you guys? You lost your sense of humor? Jesus, what is with you? I told you we take things too seriously. I don't know. Between 14 and 20, you're saying that I'm supposed to guess the average amount of times of sex that group has in a year?
The number of occurrences of sexual intercourse for that age group in a given year.
20.
Oh, my gosh. That's way low.
No.
20's low? These guys are younger than I am.
No, like 20 times?
I said 20 times.
That's so low. Because
that's low.
No, the amount of sexual occurrences for the age group of 14 to 20?
Yes.
I can't tell you how many girls I know that have lost their
25, 30, 40?
How many times that age group has sex in the year? It's got to be in the hundreds.
Sexual intercourse.
These guys who are in their 20s, they say in the hundreds.
They're more sexually active than like our age group.
I'd say 400 some.
You would say 1.5 times a day?
Probably, yeah.
For all adolescents?
That's nuts, isn't it?
Well, how many 14-year-olds do you think have sex 1.5 times a day?
I know a lot, actually. Like when I
all right, well, leave a list before you go.
I will.
And, well, don't get involved in enough.
Not that I have.
Oh, yes, sure.
I asked them.
Listen.
And I'm like, what?
Wait, why are you guys saying that? That's one. The doctor's right. He's saying that, you know, 14-year-olds who would have sex one time a day.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Where do these guys live? What is going on in this world?
You'd be surprised. I am surprised. There are
probably
14-year-old girls around here.
Give us the correct answer because these guys are out of their minds.
Yeah.
The average is around 112.
I was right. I said 100.
No, you didn't. You said 20.
Yeah, but then I multiplied. I said about 100.
Jeremy said 100.
I said 100.
Oh, you said 100. Yeah. Jeremy was right. 100 times a year.
112.
Well, that's, yes.
More would sex you than think, I have in a year.
Jeez. Would you think that
not with
the
yourself.
Number of sexual occurrences is higher for young adults, 20 to 40, or for middle-aged adults, 40 to 60?
Repeat the question.
Yeah, give us that question again.
Okay, young adults, 20 to 40, and middle-aged adults, 40 to 60.
Who has more?
Which one would you say has more occurrences of sexual activity or sexual intercourse?
I say 20 to 60.
40 to...
No. I say 40 to 60.
Yeah, 40 to 60.
I say 25 or 6 to 4. I say... I say the top range. What do you say?
No, 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 no.
I say
20
to 40.
20 to 40. Got 120 to 40.
Put me down for 40 to 60.
He's and I had 240 to 60s and 120 to 40.
40 to 60 has actually a little bit more sexual activity than 20 to 40.
That's right.
Yeah, because 20 to 40 are fighting all the time.
Because they're all just getting married and shit. So
is that what? Why is that? What does the study say about the activity of 40
well,
to 60?
Well, a lot of it has to do, first of all, a lot of it has to do with the empty nest syndrome and children no longer being around.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, once they leave the house and then you have the whole house to yourself, the middle-aged adults tend to become a little bit more sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know, so whereas the 20 to 40-year-olds who are, you know, having the children and have the children in the house and taking them to lacrosse and taking them to soccer and working full-time and they don't, you know, it's tough for them to, you know, then the kids sleeping in the bed with them and, you know, want to sleep in the same room and they're scared and, you know. So,
thin wall.
You know, it's kind of like adolescents are sexually active, and then there's a little bit of a lull in 20 to 40, and then a little bit of an increase. And believe it or not, elderly are about the same as middle-aged adults.
Well, 40 to 60 obviously send out for sex more than the 20 to 40. Don't. I'm sending. What are you doing? I'm sending out for Chinese tonight. I'm going to eat Chinese tonight. I think
Frank will be sending out for Chinese on the 31st
next week. Come to my Chinese New Year's party.
Some people will be coming home.
Okay, so I understand. I understand what you're saying, and that just makes a whole lot of sense. Isn't that the kind of thing you could think about without doing a study? I mean, that seems to be obvious, doesn't it?
Okay. Yeah, but thinking as a scientist, you can speculate, you can predict, you can hypothesize anything.
But you got to have some stats,
Right, you got to have the stats to prove it. You know, you have to do your analysis of variance or your, you know, t-test for independent samples and things like that. So then when you get the results and you look at the significance level and so forth, then you know.
Now, am I going out on a limb by saying that it would probably be the same thing with gay marriages and those age groups and sex too, because gay people can adapt, right? They can have kids and they can live with kids who are younger. So they would also have the same problems if they were raising children and they're the same sex, correctly?
Correct. Right, but you know what? Now this is strictly speculation.
Okay.
But what wouldn't you think, and this is just being intuitive, wouldn't you think it would be harder for two males or two females?
I think it would be harder for two males than, yes, definitely.
To explain to their children about sex.
Would be harder for two males to explain?
Or two females when the children say, well, what exactly happens when you have sex?
Well, let me say this and speculate this, and I don't think this is a speculation. I think this is proven, even though I don't have the facts, but I do have the facts because I always bring this up to people. If you're raised, it doesn't matter who your parents are, what sex your parents might be. If you're raised by Nazis, chances are you're going to grow up and be a Nazi, right? I mean, I know people who were raised not that I want to compare Nazis to Jehovah's Witnesses, but I know people who, you know, they were Jehovah's kids grow up and they believe what their parents believe. And,
do you think gay parents?
Listen to this. Tarzan thought he was an ape. He thought, and he was actually felt bad. sad because he was like, "Geez, I don't have all the hair everybody has, so that's my family. But I'm weird." But he thought he was an ape, and that's based on psychological upbringing, correct?
Environment.
Isn't that environment? What are you laughing about?
Wait a minute.
I think the Tarzan theory is one. I think I should be teaching by bringing that up. You should be bringing
the
that
Hartford,
up.
Maryland,
but I have a question. If that is true, if Nazis raise Nazis, are you telling me that gay parents are going to raise gay children?
Well, it could happen. I mean, isn't it more like they would? No, well, I know maybe it wouldn't happen. Maybe it wouldn't happen because there's a lot of other elements involved. But they definitely wouldn't. They wouldn't think it weird, would they? If they grew up and they had two parents and they were always had two parents who were the same sex, and suddenly they went out and saw that, they wouldn't think it that weird because they grew up and those parents loved them, and that's all. They didn't.
Well, they grew
right.
But remember, they only spend about a third of their life at home.
Yeah, well, isn't that enough to understand that?
Now, let me just throw another wrench into this. Suppose homosexuality is 100% genetic.
Then?
Okay.
Well, then,
so
it, then
now
it,
you have a child who is does not have the genes to be gay. So wouldn't you think that that child would have a much harder time understanding having two parents of the same gender?
Well, it's according to how the genes look on the their parents. No, I...
In other words,
Raul liked that when he knows.
Let's take a 9-year-old.
Raul liked that because he knows. The women's mothers are walking around with the jeans and the tight jeans, and they got camel hooks or whatever they're called there. Camel toes. Anyway, go ahead.
Camel spiders.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
A kid is growing up and he's got two males.
He's 12 years old.
He's 12.
He's let's say, you know, for lack of a better term, he's very masculine. He absolutely positively is attracted to girls.
Okay.
He loves everything about them.
Yeah.
And when he comes home, he sees two men kissing and holding hands. And you don't think that that would present a state of, say, cognitive dissonance or confusion?
Well, what I'm thinking is that if he grew up and he's not suddenly coming into the house at 12, if it's something that was ordinary to him and these people loved him all his life and he grew up like that, he wouldn't think anything weird about it, would he?
I think he would if he has the genes to be heterosexual.
Well, but that's if. That's a big if.
Well, but the chances of the child having the genes to be homosexual is a whole heck of a lot lower than.
But that's if genes are really involved here,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, then if genes are involved, what were you going to say, Raul? Because you had something to just.
Oh, I said. I actually have a friend who has that. I know a guy who has two dads, and he's probably one of the most masculine non-homosexual person I've ever met in my life.
Okay, so yeah,
and he grew up with two dads.
Well, I guess I don't know what that means. I mean, if he's happy,
I guess it's all situational. It's like depending on every situation.
Yes, isn't it all individually? Isn't it hard to do studies like this because there are so many?
No,
I'm always wrong with
when you do the studies. You know, it's anonymous. I mean, you say whatever you want to say. No, but, you know, there's no. I don't ask you for your name, your address, your social security number, I give you a questionnaire and, you know, either online.
But if you got a sample of 10 people, again, no, you got to have a big sample.
Right, you got to have a big sample.
And if you have a big sample, okay, so then I'm wrong. I don't know what to say.
Okay, so let's get back to Raul's friend for a second.
Yes.
He's the most masculine guy, he said, right. Now,
probably one of them, yeah, that I remember.
What happens when he walks in on his two dads who are having sex?
Maybe he never walked in on his. Did he ever?
No,
did he ever
let's
say
just anything? Suppose he did.
Does he even mention? I mean,
no,
he
doesn't. He just.
He just doesn't say anything.
I mean, he's not against. He's not against homosexual marriage at all. None,
he's never had a parent that was a. He's always had these two guys.
Right.
These guys are. They raised him.
Pretty much.
But again, he's a masculine guy. He's attracted to females.
Well, yeah. There are masculine guys.
He knows what the heterosexual thing is all about. You know, I'm sure he's sexually active. And he walks in on his two fathers having sex. Don't you think that that's going to have a different effect on him than it would on someone walking in on their parents who are of different genders.
I mean, not if he was, like, raised to it. Like, if he was...
Maybe the first time he saw it. And maybe after the third time
he saw it. I think regardless of...
I don't know.
What gender you are or what gender your parents are, you're going to be frightened when you walk in on your parents having sex, regardless of what sex they are.
I guess it's all according, too, to how much porn you watch. Isn't it? No, God. That broke.
What if you're bisexual?
What if you're bisexual? No, wait, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's a whole different...
You know, do you remember Dr. Tony Grant? Did you ever read Being a Woman by Dr. Tony Grant, Popoli, Gary?
No.
Okay. You should read that.
Dr.
Tony Grant. She was wonderful, and this book is great. It's called Being a Woman. But anyway, I don't know what we're getting at. What are we trying to get at here?
Well, we're just coming up with research questions.
Research questions about people.
About gay marriage.
About gay marriage.
Right.
Okay. These are just questions that will be told.
Yeah, let me give you one other, this is a big study in psychology. There was a surgeon. Parents had twin boys.
Okay.
When the surgeon went to do the circumcision, the surgeon botched the circumcision and wind up cutting one of the young boy's penises off.
Oh my God.
Give me a
what is this all about? You know, for somebody who's had that operation, that really, even though I got away with it for as many years as I have, that's a horrible thing. He botched it? Well, that's God. Okay, so someone who has, and this person had.
I grew up in Sikh Fender.
Two.
Okay. So this was back in the 60s. Now, I'm trying to think of the doctor's name. It was like Dr. Moyen or
Dr. Frankenstein, like that. I think was his name.
What was it?
Frankenstein. God, who does that? You don't.
I'm with you.
It took him a beat. Okay, that. I mean, I've never heard of that ever.
That's tough, though.
You've never heard of that?
I've never heard anything like that.
What about?
Rabbis do it. Didn't rabbis used to do it? I mean, they never cut off a penis. They're not even surgeons. How can a surgeon?
Wait a minute. Yeah. Bob it. How many circumcisions have there been?
Well, I don't know. I'm not keeping track.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. That's a, one of the truths. So, Julia. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, here's what happened.
Go ahead.
So the surgeon comes out and talks to the parents. And he recommends raising the child as a girl. Because the child now does not have a penis.
This a true story?
Yes, this is a true story.
Couldn't they put it back on?
Not in those days. They couldn't put it back on.
Oh,
in those
when
days,
is
right?
This?
This is the 60s?
Okay, now here's the thing. Now, you know I'm not a big fan of Wikipedia. But just, you know, I was looking for the doctor's name, and his name was actually John Money.
All right.
Okay. Well, he lost a lot of money after this.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably did. But
is that
anyway,
where he made all his money in the John? Is it? Go ahead.
Okay. So, and the boy's name was David Reimer.
Wow.
Okay. And he had a twin named Brian Reimer. So,
who had his penis intact?
Dead.
Yeah. His original
That's how
name
you
was
tell
Bruce.
Them apart. If they were twins.
How can you tell the twins apart? That's terrible. I know. All right, let's scratch that from the record, please. Your Honor, can we have that scratch from the record? Go ahead, Doc.
All right. Okay. So here's what happens. So he comes out and he talks to the parents. And he recommends raising the one boy that now does not have a penis to raise the child as a girl. And he says to the parents that if you do everything that you would normally do for a girl, then the you know, nobody will ever know the difference, and you'll end up with a girl and a boy. So, this actually, the one guy, this guy Bruce, actually came to Baltimore to get therapy and so forth. Well, anyway, the identity, the gender identity of this child, when he got older, knew the girl knew something wasn't right. And so by the age of 13 or so, this child is starting to be suicidal. And so the boy, who is now a girl, actually decided to take on a male identity, gender identity, as a result of the botched surgery, which he was originally a boy. So this is like one of the big topics that we talk about in psychology is gender identity. And so this was like the landmark case of gender identity, which basically showed that if it's a boy, no matter how much you try to raise that boy as a girl, it's not going to happen.
Well, here's what I want to know.
Now, it says here, it says that they went on to elaborate the story in the book As Nature Made Him, yes. The boy who was raised as a girl.
That's right. And I remember reading in chapter 12 that the first thing they did when the doctor gave them that suggestion, they decided to do that, was they changed all the cigars that they were giving out. And the they had all these cigars, and it's a boy. They had to go, they had to send them all back, and they had to give out cigars that says it's a girl. But that was the deadliest silence I've heard in ages. Okay, I'm sorry. I was making...
They had given this child female hormones and so forth, and actually the child had to undergo a double mastectomy.
People don't give out cigars anymore when they have kids. Remember, that joke originally?
Yeah, because, see, smoking's bad for you.
Yeah, but in those days, you didn't even have to smoke it. You would just get, that was like, hey, it's a boy. And it would say on the little ring of the cigar, it's a boy or it's a girl. And they did that in the 60s, which is why I brought that. But apparently my audience and you are definitely not acquainted with this particular custom of the United States of America. So let's go on now.
Okay.
So this kid really had a problem. Now, what are you trying to get at the fact that there was something genetic going on? That was telling this person, no matter what they do, you're a male. And this, in the chemistry and your DNA and all the stuff that's going on in there is male, male, male. You can't make
someone.
Yeah, okay.
He's a female.
Again, this is a landmark case. So it does at least explore the possibility that gender identity is based upon hormones and genes. So if that's the case, then when you start talking about homosexuality, it would appear that even though they have the XY chromosome or the XX chromosome, XY chromosome, and they're supposed to be males, maybe they have just an overabundance of female hormones, which makes them more feminine than masculine, and they can possibly become homosexual, attracted to the opposite gender.
I'm still trying to figure out how we got to this topic. We were talking about gay marriage. That's why. Okay, fine.
Sure.
Fine. Right. Okay. Right. Well, so okay. So there's.
I want you to read up on this, Dr. John Money.
Dr. John Money, you know, in the Academy Award-winning movie, The Unforgiven, that was the name of Clint Eastwood's character, Money. But it was M-U-N-N. Is it M-O-N-Y? Is M-U-N-N-Y, right? Money? Isn't it spelled like that? Or M-U-N-Y?
Let me see what it says.
I don't think it's money like in cash. I think it's M-U-N-Y.
Eddie Money.
Well,
not any money.
It says here that John Money was actually the psychologist who oversaw the case and recommended to the parents that they
was it M-U-N-Y?
M-O-N-E-Y.
Wow, okay, so that's random. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm still here. And
it says that the child died at the age of 38.
A lot of people die at the age of 38. Did it have anything to do with the this particular trial or tribulation?
It said he took an overdose of antidepressants.
Oh, so a suicide.
And
attempted or not
attempted. His wife told him that she actually wanted to separate.
Uh-huh.
And so he drove to a grocery store's parking lot and committed suicide by shooting himself in the head with a sawed-off shotgun.
Damn.
There's a very famous legal case about a set of Siamese twins who got married and wanted to separate, but that's a whole nother thing. Listen, we're with Dr. Gary Popoli, and who
hey,
knows all about this stuff here on Cthulhu Chronicles. Yes,
let
sir.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead. Like
Why
I know
didn't you
answer.
Take the long top of the hour break? You don't have to do that anymore?
Well, no, I don't have to. I do that once in a while just so that, to let people go to the bathroom and stuff, you know.
Right, and replenish their bodily fluids.
When we really gets interesting, and I hate that word, when it really gets compelling and we have wonderful guests like you, we've been moving past it.
Right.
Overlooking it so that we could talk some more.
Right, I appreciate it. There was something else that I just wanted. This has nothing to do with what we were talking about.
Good, because I don't want to continue.
But you were talking about giving out cigars, and people don't do that anymore.
Yes, do they?
There's a decline, obviously, in the percentage of people. I believe it went from 18% to 9%.
You talked about smoking.
The percentage of people who are still smoking,
right?
But there's an increase in adolescents who are smoking.
Yes.
Now, whether it's cigarettes, marijuana, snuff, chewing tobacco, whatever you want to call it, they're using tobacco products. And I will say one of the things that I strongly discourage is using tobacco products. And I tell my students all the time there's not a lot of my students that still smoke, but some of the students who use they put in their cheek, does whatever it's called.
Yeah, I saw some. Go ahead.
It will actually eat through your bone in the bottom of your mouth, and you'll have a hole there.
Yes, I saw some startling statistics recently about because I'm a former smoker of how your percentage you're less likely to get certain diseases based on the fact of how long you've stopped and to try to prove to people that it's okay to stop. You know, you haven't killed yourself already.
Right.
Your body actually will take care of and repair. Or at least, there'll be less. And I didn't realize there are so many, and I guess they didn't back in the old days either. And by the old days, I mean the same days they gave out cigars. That I bet they didn't know back in those days that smoking was related to so many different kinds of cancers. They always thought about lung cancer, but they didn't realize bladder cancer. And I mean, there's so many different cancers that it contributes to professing. Is that right?
Correct. If you've ever seen the first commercials on smoking, where they have the picture of the lady smoking, they actually mention in the commercial that it's actually good for your health.
Yes, they do. And there was this thing about salt. Remember when they used to talk about, they used to put saltpeter in cigarettes so that people would have sex? Because saltpeter, did saltpeter do anything about, it was supposed to do something and make you horny, saltpeter.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know about that either.
No, I didn't know about that.
You're right.
It was just oysters.
No, it wasn't just oysters. No, and I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know
about
either.
Oysters, do you? Is that an aphrodisiac?
Yeah, oysters.
Oysters are an aphrodisiac. Take it from him. Take it from Raul.
No, I don't eat seafood beds. No.
Huh? You don't eat? No. Okay.
Raul's just a natural aphrodisiac.
Yeah. Well, wait till he gets to Afghanistan. How's that going to happen? You're not going, are you?
Probably. I hope not.
No. He hopes not. No, when I met the guy and hired him. Oh, you do hope so.
Hope I go.
No, I don't want you to go.
No, you don't want to go.
I don't want you to go. No, not because of me.
I don't want you to go, Raul.
I don't think you should. But anyway.
Yeah, Popoli says don't go.
Popoli says don't go. He'll write you an
excuse.
And he knows
what's bad.
He can write you an excuse.
There's no
right?
excuse.
Can't you? Can't you write him an excuse?
Absolutely.
Dear government, or whoever it is. Dear United States.
Dear federal government.
Federal government. Dr. Gary Popoli, so the gay marriage is a big thing. What was the other thing again? The pot smoking? Should we even get into that?
We talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about it. Now, let me ask you this.
Pot smoking always encouraged regular smoking to me. Now, is that because I was a smoker? to begin with, because I just, you know, it's like the little dessert after the big thing.
Right.
Smoking pot always made me smoke regular cigarettes more.
Right.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
So we don't.
That's enough of that.
If I bring it up, forget about it. But
here's another thing.
Yes.
Now this is just, you know, I'm just going off on a tangent now because we don't have a lot of time left. You heard the story about the guy who was texting in the movies.
Yes.
And the guy shot him, killed him.
I saw his wife survivor today. It was heartbreaking.
I saw it too. She was crying. And
that was just, that was, oh, that was, go ahead. So, okay, what about it?
Yeah, so now, there are strict, there were rules, supposedly, not published, but rules that were up on the wall or whatever at the movie that you couldn't text in the movie. So now I'm not saying that, you know, what the guy did was right or whatever, but he was texting his babysitter who was watching their 3-year-old and wanted to know, you know, if she was still crying or something, whatever the case may be. Now, put yourself in that situation. And what would you do?
I would have went out in the lobby. Seriously.
You would have gone out in the lobby to text.
Yeah, I would have went out in the lobby.
Now, suppose you weren't the texter.
Well, I don't know.
Would you say something to the guy, or would you be...
No, I wouldn't have. You know why? Because not me personally. I don't know if I'm a good sample or person to ask, because I've had people behind me, you know, doing all sorts of things. I never told them to be quiet. I mean, right. I think it comes with the territory. Plus the fact that it says, it doesn't say on there, please don't text. Like you said, there's not a rule. It doesn't say texting will be punishable by death, right? So the guy just did a quick little thing. So what? I mean, that to me is like, that shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, but now here's my point.
What is your point?
And again, just going out on a limb here on a tangent.
Yeah, don't ask me. Just go ahead.
Suppose. Now the question is, suppose we didn't have texting. It would have never happened, right?
I would have been on the phone instead.
Well,
the guy would have been in the lobby on the payphone.
Yeah, or else, yeah, but the guy, but here's what I think. I think that, something else could have happened. Maybe somebody could have mumbled, or somebody could have been coughing. This guy would have just found somebody to take his, anger out upon. And I want to know one thing. Well, why do people, why are you walking around with a gun? And who does, I mean, doesn't he expect to shoot somebody or expect to be shot? Why would you have a gun in a movie theater? Just have it? Because why? Because you heard the people walk in with shootings?
In many places, it's totally legal to carry a gun.
Wait, right. So
in Texas, you can actually carry a concealed weapon.
Anyway, go ahead.
So my point is...
Yeah.
Now...
The point is that if there wasn't texting, the guy would be alive.
Is this the result of social media and texting and...
Wait a second. There wouldn't have been Custer. If we weren't at war with the Indians, then Custer wouldn't have gone out and died either. I mean, what are you saying? This is just the way.
I'm just bringing up the critical questions. That's all.
Right. I see what you're saying. Right. If there wasn't texting.
It's a question I may ask my students at one point in time. You know, if we didn't have social media, do you think that something still would have happened in the movie theater?
Well, I'll take that one step further. Look at the people who would be alive because they died texting and driving. If there wasn't texting...
And the people who have committed suicide from being bullied on Facebook.
Yeah, the bullied people. Yeah, I don't understand the climate of the current world. Because I grew up in an entirely different world. I've been bullied. I've been punched. You know, I mean, we grew up in different cultures and different things. Is it possible that this bully thing has grown from one person and because it's been so prevalent, people feel bullied that, you know what I'm saying? Why has this bully thing suddenly become an issue of life and death? I don't understand. Wasn't there a study on that?
Well, because first of all, it's not, in quotation marks, illegal to say anything you want about somebody online.
No, but it's, but you can say
you can remain anonymous, and you can call people. Look,
people have been bullied. Wait a second. Kids have been bullied right to their face, and they didn't go home and kill themselves. So I don't get. I don't really understand how this thing has developed in this culture.
If I bully you to your face, and let's suppose I bully you right now to your face, there's only two other people that have heard it and know of it. And that's Raul and Jeremy. Mm. When I get on Facebook,
Raul beat the fuck out of me.
And I have, you know, 700 friends.
Okay, I get you.
And I put on there that you are.
Yeah, point taken.
You know,
yeah,
so.
Point taken. And then these are kids who have not established their identity and self-esteem at any given level and stuff, right? So well, obviously that it's more
Raul
it affects them.
Up a point that it's a very soft generation.
It's a Raul is bringing up this soft generation thing.
You grew up, like when you grew up like you getting bullied. Go the hell
well,
over there. And
well,
be
yeah.
Mom.
When I you know I was a very big misunderstander of what happened at Columbine way back then. Because I couldn't imagine that ever happening at Edward B. Shallow High School, junior high school, when I was growing up. Someone comes in with a gun, and, you know, I mean, he'd be lucky if he gets one shot off before everybody was on top of him.
Oh, yeah.
Or everything in the world was thrown at him. It's a whole different situation than the people. Well, serious. So you'd be in danger. You'd be in more trouble, more danger if you were the guy who came in with the gun. I don't care how many you come in with. You better come in with a, you know, like terrorists have, you know, a bomb. You better come in with a suicide bomb if you're going to kill anyone, because otherwise you're dead. You're a dead man. And I just thought of something else, too. I thought of this tonight while I was watching the CBS Evening News.
And some news.
And I was watching this. Hey, you know what? They're all this worrying about terrorism in the Olympics.
Yes.
Why don't they just give the terrorists some teams? Why don't they tell the guys, look, why don't you compete? You know, why don't you, you know, be... Yeah. Get involved in it, and then.
Did you see the five women that they arrested?
Did they get some women? They got some of the Black Widows.
Yeah, they're the Black Widows.
Yeah, they call them Black Widows.
Right. Yeah, they're ready to. You know, they'll do anything because
it's because terrorists can't play hockey. That's why. And when it comes to that's
what
terrorists can't play hockey. Otherwise, they would be teams. They could get involved in the competition. They
want to
beat people. They could beat them at teams at Luge. At Luge. Illusion, ice skating.
Let me ask you a question about that.
What?
Why did it take so long to have women's ski jumping? Now look, if you want to go down a ramp,
everyone looked up their tights. You don't. It doesn't matter anymore if you look up their tights. Is that it? I don't know. Why?
If you want to go down a ramp, 60 miles an hour, and jump off of it, and fly through the air, and hope that you land on these two skis, which. Believe me, I could never do.
No.
Then does it really matter if you're male or female? Why can't the females do it?
Why don't they do it anymore? They don't? They can't?
This is the first year that they allowed it.
I guess for the... Look, there's still no female baseball players in major leagues, are there?
No.
No. And there must be a woman out there
Japanese guy playing for New York now.
Yeah, but, you know, the Japanese use a smaller ball. The Japanese have smaller balls, is what I'm saying. And they use smaller balls. It's a whole different thing. I know. No, it's true. They do. They have a whole different, that's a smaller ball, so they throw the ball faster because it's smaller. That's another kind of science. Okay,
well,
it's
you
called
know,
physics,
you know,
okay?
A couple years ago,
what?
They signed two guys who were the...
Married. Two guys who were married. Now we'll go back to the gay sex. They signed two guys who were married. One was a pitcher and one was a catcher, right?
No, two guys who played cricket.
Cricket?
Yeah. And you know, and they could throw the ball, you know, 100 miles an hour.
That's British baseball.
In cricket.
Yeah.
And so they signed them to the major leagues now, you know, and they were like on the farm team trying to, because they had no control. They couldn't hit the strike zone.
It's a whole,
I could hit the strike zone every time, but it's not going to be faster than 9 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. Here's another thing.
Okay. What?
And this is just a personal.
No talking thing. Among ourselves, pal, okay? What's going on, Becky? We have another conversation going on here. Involve yourself. What are you going to say?
No, I'm saying that's a movie coming out. The two guys playing cricket that got signed.
Oh, really?
Actually bringing a movie
they're
out.
Making
they're
taking a movie out.
Classic
Hollywood. They don't have any ideas of their own.
Yeah.
Is everybody, when they're in a movie theater, just going to keep real quiet because it's called Crickets?
Ah.
Are they going to text and get shot?
Have you ever seen any of you, have any of you watched, and I just started watching it, and I'm through season two, Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. God.
I refuse to watch it because it's incorrect grammar. It should be Breaking Badly. We all know that.
Right. And but
listen, I'm going to tell you something. I never watched an episode. I saw the last episode, and it was everything I ever needed to see. I couldn't imagine sitting there for three seasons and enjoying any of that.
I watched the whole series, and it was fantastic.
How about Game of Thrones?
No, I don't like that.
Oh, now we're going back to baseball. That's about pitchers, isn't it?
No.
Pitchers, Thrones?
No, it's no, about
Game
toilets.
Of, the Game of Thrones?
It's about toilets.
You see, you just did it. You tried to make a better joke, and it wasn't. And you did it. You just did it. I thought I was serious. This is Dr. Gary Popley is with us at least for the next 7 or 8 minutes as we move into the Cthulhu Chronicles here. There, I didn't. Yeah. How did we stray onto that? I don't know.
I was just going out on a tangent there for a second.
These are.
Now I will tell you this. Since you didn't send me copies of, you know, I have a copy right here.
Of what?
Of one of your books.
Which one? Did you buy
Pony Player?
Oh, you bought Pony Player. Yeah, Pony
You have
Player.
A physical copy of Pony Player?
Oh, do I?
Yeah, he has a physical.
I have signed.
There are some physical copies. You don't have one?
I don't have a physical copy.
Now, that's the only Frank Cthulhu book I have because I was promised copies of the other ones, but, you know, I never received them.
You're like me, right? Anything you get
so
for
what
nothing.
What I had to do.
Here I am trying to pay the rent, and everybody comes up to me and goes, hey, I know you. How about a free book or seven? I know you. Why don't you give me 7 books? Did you write 7? Can I have them? No, you can't have them. I sell these things. This is how, you know, I buy you. Can I have 7 books?
That's like $100.
I mean, you know, find out how to hack them and get them for nothing. Don't rip me off.
Hey, when we were talking about all these good shows, Breaking Bad and
Game of Thrones. Breaking Bad, Gar?
Who?
Gary.
Me? Yeah. You know, I've really. It's really piqued my interest. So my wife and I have, you know, we've been trying to catch up. So we've been watching like 3 episodes a night.
This doesn't sound like a family.
I really like it. I've always dreamt to be like you and, you know, write a book or whatever. So when I see, you know, that somebody's written this and they've made this, I find it fascinating. I think it's pretty neat idea. How they come up with all this.
You know what another really good show is?
What?
I forget what channel it's on.
Teen Mom.
Yeah.
Teen Mom? You're like Cougar.
Yeah, watch that too. I
love The Big Bang Theory. Now, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it now. These days, I'm catching up on that. That's a funny little show.
Yeah, it is funny.
That's a good show. Here's a good show. Here goes. Listen.
Here we go.
The modern Stone Age, right? Here we go. Here it is. Coming up. Look at that. Trivia coming up. Trivia. With the French Stones. Here comes. Gay old time. Okay. What TV show was the Flintstones based? This is a little bit of neo-postmodernism.
All in the Family.
No.
Yeah.
What? No. No, you're wrong. And you continue to be wrong. And you look at me like you're right. Gary, do you know?
What show was it based on?
Yeah, what television show, real life, you know, real people television show, did they base the Flintstones upon?
Was it?
Now, this has nothing to do with the time.
Three Sons?
Huh?
My Three Sons?
Where the hell did he get that?
Will Travel.
No, you don't know?
I was just thinking, you
know. It's The Honeymooners.
Reminds me of Fred McMurray.
The Honeymooners.
All in the Family.
No, it's not All in the Family. God damn, you're like that guy. You're like that kid who was in the car, and I said, he's like, Forrest Gump isn't the main character. And he goes, well, I disagree. You can't disagree with the truth. That's the moon up in the sky. Well, I don't think so. I think that's Mercury. Screw you. The truth is the truth. You can't argue certain things. The Honeymooners. You know.
I can see that.
Yeah, now you can.
I can see that.
Yes. And that's because that's
one of these days.
That's what it was based on. Oh, these kids, I'm telling you must go through this too, don't you, Gar? Aren't there kids who defy I mean, you got young people in your class. Don't they just do they defy you when it's like?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. How do you deal with that? Just how do you deal with that?
Well, that's part of emerging adulthood. See, we used to have adolescence, and then we used to have young adulthood. But we know now that the prefrontal cortex isn't developed until 29, so we have emerging adulthood, and that's characteristic of that age.
So I have two people here whose pre-cortex you guys have not developed.
Mine's developed.
Right. That's correct. Now,
listen, you see, that just goes to show it's not. Here's Raul goes, I'm a man. Mine's developed. By golly, here I got a rootin' tootin' masculine guy. Go ahead.
Drink beer and eat meat.
Go ahead.
Hey,
I got meat for you. Go ahead.
I had to, I like to read different things, so I had to come up with another book. So a book was suggested to me by one of my students, and I read it in 2 days. Have you ever read Defending Jacob?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it about? Oh, he's laughing. See? His cortex is still working, developing, so he had to make a stupid joke. What is it about? Why should we read it?
It's an excellent, and the thing is this.
Mm-hmm.
This is all I'll say because I don't want to give it away. But when you get to the end of the book, and I'll say literally 5 pages from the end, you think that it's over. And when you read the last 5 pages.
Somebody walks in the door and says, here's the other 2,200 pages. Yeah, you're not fun with that book.
You can't believe it.
Volume 2, it's the return of Jacob. What? Really? You it's not over, right?
Defending.
That's all I'm saying. So, if you read this whole book.
What's it called?
It's like 5 pages of it. You say, yeah, well, I read the book and I wasn't impressed with it. Well, you have to read the last 5 pages.
Well, how about I just read the last 5 pages? That way it can save me a lot of time.
You could do that.
Because I always.
Here's one other thing that I saw on the news. We were talking about the botched circumcision.
Yes.
So here's a guy who the tip of his penis was amputated.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how much money he got? Now, this is a little bit of self-esteem, self-worth question. How much would you ask?
You mean
if somebody's asked to you?
They sewed him. Well, I go for eye for an eye at that point.
There would be no.
I'm with the eye for an eye thing. I go back. Suddenly I believe in the Bible. It's like, all right, take it out, pal.
There'd be no price. No price.
No. I can't find a price that would satisfy me.
I was gonna say $100,000.
What?
How much did he get?
$200 billion.
Did they have?
Yeah, they have it on here. What he got in damages?
Okay, tell us what he got in damages.
$360,000.
That's it.
Well, it was only the tip.
Fuck.
Yeah, but the tip is important.
That's the most important part.
You know, did you hear that Freudian slip? Did you hear that Freudian slip? He went, that's the best part. He was going to say, that's the best part.
Oh, no, I'm gay.
I know,
I'm
you gay. Said, that's the best part.
He was my jeans are
shaving. I don't care. I don't mind what you might be in your sexual preference.
The first thing
I know you're okay. Okay. Like, if you're not, you're not okay. You see what I'm saying? We're not ever going to get out of this mess, are we? We're never going to get out of this mess.
I will leave you with one other book, and then I'll say goodnight.
Go ahead, because we have to go anyway. Go ahead, Doctor.
Outliers.
Who?
Outliers.
Outliers. Yeah? What is that about?
It was like a few years ago.
Yeah. It's this by the same author who wrote Blink. As soon as you meet people, you judge people, right?
Yes. Off. Yeah, I heard about Blink, yeah.
Yeah, but the Outliers, and, they have all these events, and when you break it down into all of the facts about these odd events, you get to actually see why they occurred. It's pretty fascinating.
Well, okay, I'd sure love to continue this talk, but now it's time to play You Bet Your Life. Okay, hey, Doc, thanks a lot. And look, let's do this once a month now. Can we do it?
Yeah, we can do it. It's fine.
Thank you very much.
Once a month?
Yeah. We'll talk to you. Huh? Okay?
See you later.
See you later.
Bye, Popeye.
Dr. Gary Popeye there. Now you guys have blown out the entire Finn sound system. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And that's Cotolo Chronicles.
Are you really going to have him on once a month?
We're going to have him. Yeah, we always have him on once a month.
Well, you got him once a month, you got Tom once a month.
Yeah.
That leaves...
Hey, you know, I'll deal with it, okay? Mickey's all of a sudden, he's worried. Hey, Raul, thanks for coming by and protecting me.
Yep. Anytime, Frank.
No, I'm not going to make the joke I was going to make. Just be well and everything like that. Jeremy will be back. Where are you playing anywhere? Oh, Jeremy's going to... Yeah, WinstonSimmons.Productions. Email them. Yeah, we'll find out. We'll tell you more when we have more time about the documentary.
Post stuff and yeah.
Yeah, we'll tell you about.
There'll be a website soon.
There'll be a website. There'll be an amusement park, and there'll be a place you can go and order shirts. It'll be wonderful. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwell, wherever you are. We are going to leave you right now. We'll be back again next week. Why? Because we have nothing more to say.
到冰球，小村到大市，啊，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，系《Cthulhu Chronicles》。